Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Can go to hell. To a tongue of Iowa. Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour Tua of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Let's get to headlines brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, the Taos, and the Atlas. Remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. I want to talk about this before, because Leroy's got his Cleveland hit today, and I just got to make sure you got the deets on this so you can go make fun of them. This is a headline. Ohio lawmaker wants to make flag planting a felony after the game brawl breaks out.
So this, here's the deal. I get the players being a little sour. Right, you just lost your rivals game.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of pent up feelings. I don't like, even though I believe they should have just ate it, right? I'm not mad at them for getting upset. You had a chance, but nonetheless, I'm not mad at them. I just make fun of them. When the adults. When the responsible people chime in, and if we lose again, it'll be against the law for them to plant our flag. I mean, here's an interesting concept. Don't lose.
Don't lose? I got the right. Don't Lose Act. This is what this is, Marcos, you can't believe this. State Representative Josh Williams introduced the OHIO Sportsmanship Act.
Oh, get out of here.
That's soft.
Oh my God, that's soft. That's
so, how do you even bring that up in Congress?
You think it's soft that Drake's suing Kendrick Lamar? No, this is soft, dude.
It is.
This is soft.
It's like, come on, man. Like, here's one of the things that I have just an issue with in all of this. Is you realize that you are making a law because your team lost and nobody's over the age of 22 years old. Not drugs, not guns, not liquor, right? But you have wasted these people's time by going to a whole bunch of other grown folks and say, I want it to be a law you can't plant a flag. Really?
And they say our society, and, they, and you know, the
wait a minute, it took 75 years for them to not fly the Confederate flag.
The bill would prohibit planting a flagpole and flag in the center of Ohio Stadium football field on the day of a college football game, and to name this act the Ohio Sportsmanship Act.
You know,
the bill specifically references Ohio Stadium, so presumably would not include flag planting incidents at other college stadiums in the state, like Cincinnati's Nippert Stadium.
You know what it sounds like? You know what they should name this? The 0-4. They should name this. This says instead of O-H-I-O, they should put 0-4-I-O. Right? That's what you should name that law. Come on, man. Is there not better things to do? I mean, think about it. Where the country is, what we need, what the people of your state need, that's what you bring to the table? And I want to know, to be honest with you, I want to know how many other people say, yeah, I'm with you.
Apparently they're saying it doesn't have a lot of legs to pass.
Of course it doesn't.
It says, this is from On Three. House Speaker Jason Stevens explained the timing is going to make things difficult. The general manager wraps up next week, so it would have to be reintroduced. If they wanted to go again, I feel like feelings will calm down.
Wait, here's what I would say. I would say he brought this up to get some mention.
Yeah.
While knowing it's not going to go anywhere.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Right? Come on. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? And like,
oof.
Listen, as a person who loves Cleveland, but as a Michigan person, if I only take the Leroy portion, the Michigan portion of Leroy, it makes me feel all warm and fuzzy that y'all have gone to these extremes.
It does.
But as a person who's living in Ohio, I would hate to think that this is where we're spending our time.
Didn't you? Did the bill say anything about planting it in the end zone? Could they loophole it?
Could they just run around the stadium with it? Because that's just as bad, right?
Put it on like a Superman cape.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, you bring that to the Ultimate Cleveland Show later today.
Listen, it's been hard. I've been trying to hold back. I've been really trying to hold back. That's right. It should be called the SOFT. So, I've been trying to hold back because of the whole situation with the Browns or whatever. But I told them, I said, listen, I know we're sitting here talking about Cleveland and Jameis has been playing well, but I'm going to tell you this. You guys need to know that inside, I'm looking at all of you and I'm smiling. Oh, come on, man. What are we like?
It's crazy, man. What a world.
Wait, like, just out of curiosity, who is more responsible for guiding our future? Kids on a football field or the adults in Congress?
Right? Oh, there's a lot of Peter Pans in Congress, dude.
I know, but they come on. Up. Listen.
Grow up, Peter Pan.
Don't expose yourself.
It's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad. Man, that is, wow.
Funny. It's
that
just is... funny.
Let's get some other headlines here. So this is just a tweet out by Adam Schefter. Stephen Ross has announced officially the sale of a limited interest in the team, the Miami Dolphins, to Aris Management, which is headed by Joe Tsai, who owns the Brooklyn Nets. Stephen Ross says, we continue our relentless pursuit of building the best-in-class organization. Couldn't be happier to be welcoming Aris, Joe Tsai, Ali Weisberg to our investment group. They each bring invaluable expertise to the table with a shared commitment into innovation, growth, and doing things first class. Together, we prioritize blah, 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 investment in the Dolphins. He's got more money.
And he's getting a check for like $1 billion.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So, yeah, congrats to Stephen Ross.
I mean,
listen, that Monion.
I'm not going to ever say anything negative about Stephen Ross, and it has nothing to do with Michigan. Because I told you when he took over and he started throwing money around like it was nothing, I said, he may not do it right, but you will appreciate the level of commitment he's willing to make the organization one of the best. From spending his own money on stadium renovations to building that facility across the street to all the different events he has, including Formula One, right? He has gone far and beyond just owning the Dolphins to do things to kind of, you know, bolster that area.
No, and for sure. So it's become an attraction. You know, like, so the whole area has become an attraction.
From that standpoint, I may think, you know, and he's done well by not talking so much.
Oh, that's helped.
Right. But I may have problems with some of the monies they spend. But I'm never going to have a problem with them trying to spend money to fix it. You don't understand. A lot of organizations do not do that. A lot of organizations that you would have the same stadium if the city and the state wasn't putting money into it. So from that standpoint, he means well, doesn't always do well. But if you mean well, I can work with that.
Also, been mentioning this. So this was a little strange, but like ESPN did like one of the ESPN's been in stirring up trouble down here.
Yeah.
This is NFL Week 15 latest buzz from Dan Graziano and Jeremy Fowler. And they were talking about like some of the jobs that could be opening, and they were talking about the Giants, Raiders, and Jags and those jobs opening up. But then just kind of out of nowhere,
they threw Dolphins in there.
Yeah, Graziano, he says, this is outside speculation from people I'm talking to around the league rather than anything that's definitely will or should happen. But some have their eyes on Miami and wonder whether there's a change if things end badly this season, though Mike McDaniel did sign an extension in August.
Here's what I would say about that. And here's where we all collectively have to put our big brains on. Okay. There is only a select few coaches that run the system that Mike McDaniel currently runs.
Mm-hmm.
You have a unique quarterback that can excel in that system.
Who loves him?
Who loves him? If you change coaches and then your quarterback ends up in a system that doesn't fit his skill set, then what are you going to do? Because now, to get rid of a $6 or $7 million coach, you've ruined a $50 million quarterback. Do people understand the logic behind that? That sounds ridiculous.
So, like, if we're looking at this, all right, if things end badly,
right,
we're talking cat. Okay, so we're talking like 1-3 to end the season,
right?
And they would finish 7-10.
Right,
that has to be like, because if they finish 8-9, 9-8, I just can't see with Tua missing four games.
Correct.
I just can't see Stephen Ross even thinking about firing the coach. It never seems like Chris Greer's ever on the hot seat. I mean, he's been here forever. It never seems like there's ever any talk of that being the thing. But I'm with you, man. Like, look, they've linked up to Tua. Anybody who wants them to have any complaints about Tua, I'm not saying that he's without criticism, but you guys know I'm a Tua fan. He's what if you made a list of the Dolphins and the concerns you have right now, quarterback is where on that list? Is it in the top 10?
No.
Because
I would say number one would be secondary.
Yeah, secondary.
Number two would be offensive line.
I would say probably one is pass rush, just so they don't have enough of it.
Well, and here's what I'm trying to, like, I'm trying to look at how much of it is injury.
Fair.
And how much of it is schematic and how much of it is player. Okay. Like when you talk about pass rush, you can't talk about the job Sealer and Calais Campbell have done and then Chop Robinson coming on, even though you've lost your two main pass rushers. They've done a really good job. So I'm not going to just throw pass rush in there because as you start getting guys back and healthy, right, that is going to look better. So the secondary with the injuries and the guys that you've had to play, yikes, right? Then I would go with offensive line because no matter what happens, this is one of the few teams in the league that have to be 9-10 deep on the offensive line. And you have to start the season with 9 or 10 guys that could be playing on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of teams don't have to do that. You fix that, then I'm going to go with run game. Because I personally think it's an attitude. I personally think it's more coaching and scheme as to why they run the ball the way they do. Because if I took if I took Dan Campbell and put him in there and said you control the run game, the run game will look differently because of the attitude.
This is what would have to happen for this to be a formula. All right. The Dolphins would have to go 1-3. And Stephen Ross looks at what you're saying. And I would say either has to hire Ben Johnson from the Lions because he's been like the hot candidate and right. say, well, because he's usually like I think he used to be on the Dolphins staff too because he was on that Campbell staff. So that would maybe be a move, possibly, and you sell two on it, being like, look, man, we got to be well-rounded Mike McDaniel, too many words. Or he does the home run thing, which is what he was going to do the last time around, and he's got Belichick on hold. Like, those are the only ways I would see that happening.
Here's, and I love Belichick as a coach, but if you're going to bring somebody in, and one of the things why I think you keep Mike McDaniel, give him an opportunity to grow as a head coach and understand where I'm coming from. I was on Bill Belichick's team when they ran him out of town. And the players, you know, I mean, that team was the best it had been in a few years. And they ran him out of town. But why, I don't know. But that's just kind of how it went. So I'm always going to be a little cautious for this reason. New coach. He's got to grow too. Now, what I would do is have a conversation with Mike. Say, Mike, look. There's certain moments in the game where we need to be able to run the ball and need to be able to run the ball a certain way. And we don't either have the players or the system to do it. And all these teams that are having success, when they get in these moments, they can run the ball, run out the clock, get a yard or whatever. I mean, they were inside the one. It took them 5 plays.
Yeah, but I feel like Stephen Ross, when he sits Mike McDaniel down, Mike McDaniel does the two index fingers by the mouth and goes, I anticipated this question. And he's going to have like some long-winded answer. And Zero's like, just go, fine. You keep the job.
I anticipated this question.
You don't think that these are
they're valid concerns for sure.
Right. Because you have to listen. There comes a point in every game and every season where you just got to line up and play physical football and run the football. Mm-hmm. That's a fact of football. This team has struggled doing that.
What about we have a toughness committee that's run by Zach Thomas and Tim Bowens?
No.
And they just bring they have to pass tough tests to get past. Like our own Man Campbell contingency run by Zach Thomas and Tim Bowens that Mike McDaniel now has muscle to go to, right? Yeah. And then he goes, do they pass the tough test? And they even give you the Roman gods, the Roman emperor, thumbs up, thumbs down. And that will determine whether you're on the roster or not.
No. Tough. No. No. Tough. I just think Mike needs to grow from this. Mm. I think he needs to see it, because here's the deal. If you're an analytics guy, if you're a numbers guy, you have to see this going on in football and know how you have to be able to do it to be successful. It's not a secret. All the teams that are running the football, when they get up in the snow and they get, you know, at those crucial moments in the game, all the teams that can run football are have winning records. Even the teams that are supposedly, you know, Sean McVay, and you go out to San Francisco, they had a physical runner.
Yes.
This team does not.
I'm just saying, Zach Thomas, CTO.
No.
What is
Chief Toughness Officer.
All right.
No. Right. Too close. First of all, too close to CTE.
Oh, okay. Fair point. That's pretty good.
We don't. Pretty
good. I have to work on this.
Yeah. But no. So, and listen, I've been saying this for a while. This is nothing new. And you can have all that trickery or whatever, and that's fine, and that's great. Okay. But how many times during the game are we going to sit here and watch 2nd and 14 because every team knows you're going to try to run the ball outside? Right?
For like, sure.
When they got inside the 5 and got stumped 2 times, ugh, I sent Tobin a text. Here we go.
It's painful. It's painful. You and feel like – I feel like – the thing that's annoying about it is like last year – and I know you got to get you out of here because you got to do your thing. But like the last year, the thing that was frustrating about it was like, man, it felt automatic with Mostert last year, right? Like, I know that they didn't have I know they still did a lot of that outside zone stuff, but like, it feels like you're holding your breath every time they're in the red zone now.
Here's the deal though. Like, don't underestimate the other side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They game planned for that. Like, here. At some point in time, during every football game you watch, it's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmys and Joes. That means that your attitude and how you do things, it doesn't matter what defense they're in, you're going to have success. It's that level of toughness that gets things done at certain moments of a game. Can you say, with this offense, unequivocally, that when it gets to those moments that you can put a back in the backfield, you can put 2 tight ends, and we can play physical football and run out the clock or get it in the end zone? Definitely. No, you know there's going to be some kind of trickery, a fade to a 5'9 receiver. They still trying to do that. The only thing that saved them was the damn receiver grabbed him.
That's true. That did happen. We'll take a break. More to come here on the show. Back after this.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You gotta go and get angry at all of my honesty. You know I try, but I don't do too well with apologies.
And welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Leroy ran off of those Cleveland folks. He'll be back in a bit.
Hopefully he talks about that law you were talking about. You know, someone needs to be held accountable for that soft ass proposition,
dude. I happened to throw on YouTube, and so they're in my algorithm. You know, I check on Leroy every now and then, I like to peep on him, make sure that you know there's nothing being said about me. Okay. And sure, so ultimate laughing. Cleveland What's that?
Make sure he's not smiling too much.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want Leroy ever having more fun with Jay Crawford than he does with me.
Mm.
You know, I know I annoy him, but I know that, you know, he could always leave me for Jay Crawford at the drop of a hat, and then he hasn't yet, you know. Only like little dates with Jay Crawford. That's all he's got right now.
All he's got.
But for me, Froggy, I didn't like that when I tuned into the Ultimate Cleveland show that Jimmy Butler is on their cover page. Get the hell away from Jimmy Butler, everybody.
Seems like Shams is picking up right where Woj left off in regards to screwing the Miami Heat over for no apparent reason.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't like it. You know, I liked Spo yesterday was kind of squashing it. So that, you know, that made me feel good that, you know, Spo is not sweating it. Did you have Spo from yesterday?
Yep.
Here was Eric Spoelstra on the whole ordeal.
As we get into speculation season, even a report today, obviously the league thrives on that kind of stuff. What's the messaging inside the room when another one comes out, when something else comes out?
I didn't mention anything just like I did before. I think the biggest message is the fact that we're 3-0 right now this past week, and the player that was rumored in so many trade speculations the last 3 years, it seemed like every week that player is still here, and he was player of the week. So that's really the only thing I'm thinking about. It's been our best, most consistent stretch of the season. So anything else, any other narrative, I don't care. You know, nobody should, because most of this stuff has just been all like a bunch of gibberish.
There you go, Eric Spoelstra. Then just, you know, throwing the cold water on it. The one thing from the Heat's perspective, man, because I know Wendy was on Get Up today and he was saying, like, it appears we're headed towards the end. It's, you know, it appears we're headed towards the end of the Heat and Jimmy Butler. There's a couple of things that are interesting, and this has been pointed out by Barry Jackson in the Miami Herald. He's done a great job of talking about other destinations. One, okay, let's just say this ends mediocre, Marcos, right? Let's say the Heat don't make an incredible run this year. They don't go to the Eastern Conference Finals. They don't go to the Finals. This ends in first, second round, you know, which would lead you to believe, all right, we really have hit the end, all right, the tapped out mode of this. I don't really think that any of these teams that are in the Jimmy Butler talks, maybe except for Golden State, because they seem a little desperate and Steph is getting old. I don't see the Rockets feeling desperate to give up a load of picks. I don't really see the Mavericks were just in the finals. I don't see them in a mode, unless you could get like Derek Lively from them, which I don't think you would. And I don't even really know how that would fit with the Heat and Bam, because that's always kind of been a question. I don't really know what like the move is that everybody goes to, and it's just like, wow, we have like that. Unless things go really bad, which I don't think they will, because I think the Heat are starting to find their stride, and I think we may be back. But besides that, don't look at me like that.
A little early, dude.
No, I that's why I'm not saying we are back. Yeah, I think we may be back.
All right,
I can't confirm it
for sure,
but I have a feeling of backness.
All right. Time will tell.
You don't feel that way? You didn't leave the building that night and think, I think we may be back. You were there.
Yes. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, we've won 7 out of 10. So we've been trending in the right direction. Bam seems to be getting more consistent. Tyler's playing off the charts, which is a perfect time for someone to drop a little drama in our lap with this Jimmy Butler thing. But
yeah,
we're playing better, I will admit.
I have seen the speculation, like, is this a last-ditch effort from Jimmy's people to be like, hey, things are going good. We don't want to do a little, you know, make it. Because they technically could do that extension that he originally wanted, even though he said he's not going to do that anymore. They could technically still do that up until the end of the year. Even Pat Riley's made that known.
Yep.
But let's just say, if it does get to the end, right, and they get to the end of this and Jimmy's like, I'm opting out, there's nowhere for him to sign. Like, nobody has cap space. So it would have to be a sign and trade, and you would still get something for him. Now, would you get as much? Maybe you don't get as many picks, but I don't think the Heat are going to be in this. It's still a big salary. You're not going to be in this empty proposition as to where he's going to go. So I don't know if they're and the point has been made by the Miami Herald reporters and others, like, it, like the Heat aren't aggressively shopping him. I do feel like this has been a little bit of Shams throwing this into the public space, but I don't think there's necessarily been anything new, unless this was leaked by Jimmy's people to say, hey, let's drum something up here to either give the Heat a little bit more pressure to pay us, or, which I don't necessarily know if it's the case. I just kind of think that ESPN was looking for stuff to talk about. Especially because they, you know, the Warriors, you know, they just need to drum up stuff. Like, they were talking LeBron and Steph teaming up yesterday. You know, just, we need stuff. What do we got to talk about? We need stuff to talk about. I said, well, this is Jimmy Butler thing. We haven't really touched on this. Yeah. I do think there's an element of that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Unfortunately, we're just victims of, like, you know, a slow couple media days, if you will, that people are like, meh, I guess, yeah, we'll talk about it. Also, it doesn't help that we're not playing basketball during this stretch, too. So it's just one of those things, like you said, they're drumming up. But I think this is something that people have thought of. So there's like a little bit of like, you know, could be true. But it's for anyone within the Heat camp, it's like, now you want to talk about this? We're playing arguably the best basketball of the season thus far. And now is when we're talking about the trade.
Steve says, what if Miami makes this move and it could lead us to landing the draft capital to bring in Bam's boy from Sacramento to Miami? So he's referring to De'Aaron Fox. It's something that has to be talked about for sure. Again, like, it has to be, but I have a hard time believing that someone is going to pay in the middle of the season 3 first round picks for Jimmy Butler at his age and at his contract status, and knowing that he wants a new contract.
Yeah,
I guess I'm a little skeptical, more so than others, that Jimmy's going to land you 3 first round picks. I just, you know, if that happens, of course the Heat front office has to talk about that, because they're in a position where they don't have the draft capital that other teams do, and it would be nice to replenish that stuff. But there's 2 things that I think go against it. 1, never been the team that does that trade. 2, Eric Spoelstra's a maniac and doesn't seem like he ever wants to wave the white flag or concede anything. And also, Pat Riley's never really done that move. And they're also just not in this spot right now in the East where it seems like they're out of it. And they're also, like, it's kind of tough to judge because for whatever reason, the Heat have played like 4 less games than everybody.
Yeah, what's up?
So, very strange. A lot of games in hand.
Games in hand. Love that.
Yeah. I'm not for trading Jimmy Butler. I'm against it. I want Jimmy Butler to end his career with the Heat.
I don't think there's enough value coming back.
I haven't seen anything that I'm just like, ooh.
Yeah.
And that's, I know, made me stop and look at that and be like, oh.
He was talking about the Kings just now, but the Kings, they got Hall of Famer DeMar DeRozan. They don't need Jimmy Butler, apparently. They got DeMar DeRozan over there. He's going to be fine.
Well, you don't like him because he's against your boy Drake.
He's a traitor, dude.
He's not a traitor, dude.
Like, traitor. Who was there for you?
Take a break. Mix things up coming up next. Welcome back, everybody. It's Tobin and Leroy. NFL season is hitting. The stretch run, college football playoff and bowl season are almost here. The Heat and Panthers are underway, and Canes basketball also underway. It started on up. It's easy to keep up with everything. Just download the free Odyssey app for all your sports news and sports talk. You can use the rewind feature. You listen to any part of our show that you may have missed. And make Tobin and Leroy your favorite show, because Frog Boy puts a lot of work into those chapter titles, and don't let it all go to waste.
So true. So true.
What do you got for us in the mixed bag today, Marcos?
All righty then. I have quite the bit of beef within today's mixed bag.
All right.
Got a bag filled with beef. What time does Leroy finish his hit? Do you know?
He should be done like 10 minutes.
Okay. Because I wanted to save my favorite thing for, you know, potentially Leroy may be able to join us before this segment's over. In the event that he is, I'll save my favorite one for the end, and I'll start with this one here because I'm going to need your opinion on this.
Okay.
bit of a turf war yesterday on the old social media X. That is going to be between Chili's and Applebee's. I'm going to show you what went down there yesterday. If you're listening to us, I'll read the tweets. But if you have an opportunity to watch this on YouTube and Twitch, Miami 560 WQAM. Yesterday, Applebee's tweets out $9.99, the really big meal deal, with arrows showing that it's greater than that other $10.99 deal. Which, very interesting, Chili's has a $10.99 deal and they respond with, at us next time. Don't forget our three for $10.99 comes with bottomless drinks, unlimited chips and salsa, and a big smasher with fries. Y'all could literally never. Had me thinking, dude. Chili's or Applebee's for you, Tobin?
Wow. My immediate reaction was Chili's. I think that Chili's has better. I like the 2-for-1 margaritas. So I think they have a better happy hour. I enjoy their queso dip better. Applebee's, I'm trying to think, like, what's the signature thing from Applebee's? Applebee's, I think, I love the Man Campbell commercial.
They do have a good commercial.
I haven't been to an Applebee's in a really long time. Like, the last time, there used to be one near when my wife was my girlfriend. We went to Applebee's all the time.
Yeah. Was that the spot of your first date, or was it Chili's?
No, the Chili's was the first spot of a date. We went to the Aventura Chili's, actually.
Okay, so this makes sense as to why, you know, you like Chili's.
I've always felt like, are you more of a Chili's person or Applebee's?
The thing is, nothing at Applebee's is memorable. You're right about that. I can very clearly off the top say Chili's triple dipper and Chili's molten lava cake. You know, they go in the Hall of Fame.
Molten lava cake is top notch.
I want one right now, if possible. I want one right now. But
yeah, what is Applebee's go-to thing? I feel like, do they have better boneless buffalo wings? Like, I kind of feel like that might be the case, but I just think Chili's is better. I agree with Silly Sauce. I think Chili's just better.
You know what? There's just, like, really nothing that sticks out for Applebee's. Like, for example, even Chili's, like, the origin of it is, like, I'm sure they made really good chili at a certain point. And they're like, you know, we should make a restaurant out of this. Would you make a really good Applebee at one point? And they're like, hey, let's just keep doing this.
I always remember Applebee's, like, the thing with Applebee's was, like, you walked in, it was your neighborhood place, you'd go in, they'd have the high school jerseys up, like, you'd feel really like, oh, this is homey, you know?
Yeah. Not the same. Not the same. Jesus, Schmeet.
That's a haymaker.
Pretty good.
Says Marcos is the only person to order a triple dipper while having a triple chinner.
Point for Twitcher.
All right, keeping it moving in the mix bag. Tobin, yesterday, Mr. Barkley may have gotten himself in a bit of hot water. Did you happen to catch that?
It would have to be something. Barkley doesn't seem like anything ever sticks to him. So,
that's true.
I'm actually surprised that you say something like that.
Very true. Yesterday there was a Jay-Z reference from Charles Barkley.
Oh boy.
That kind of sent the show into a tailspin. Shaq walked off. Kenny Smith tried to slow things down there. As you may or may not know, there's been some allegations recently placed upon Jay-Z that loop him in with the likes of Diddy. And he seems to be firing back very hard. The latest I heard was he is demanding that the person either reveal their identity or drop the charges. But nonetheless, it didn't stop Charles Barkley from dropping this little nugget. This is Barkley from Inside the NBA.
You think Jay-Z or
probably not a good time right now.
Or you're silly, man. You're silly, man.
Go see if you can fix the wall, will you, Shaq?
Fix the wall, man. Yeah.
Here, Pat, here.
Fix the wall, man.
I can fix the wall.
My point was.
Too soon, Kenny.
My point was.
You think. Too soon, Kenny.
Man, I like how he throws it back on Kenny. He goes, no, you too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon for you.
Pretty good. Classic. Classic Charles Barkley. They tried to get rid of this show, dude. You remember they tried to get rid of this show?
It's crazy, but it's going to ESPN.
Yeah. So what do you think of that? So I think that's going to change it in any way?
Apparently not. I think it's going to be a lot like, I think they run the production out of it, similar to like UFC or Rat McAfee. Like, I don't think they really have a hand in it. I think that it's just going to air on ESPN.
So ESPN just does like, you know, they're just like, you can do whatever now. Please, we'll, just whatever you want to do, please, we'll take you. You want to curse? You want to wear sleeves?
Pretty much. Well, I think that's probably what they should do, though. Like, one of the things with ESPN is they just try and shove too much Greeny and Stephen A. down, you know, down your throat or in your face. You're just like, all right, we get it. You know? And it's, and then I'm just like, why does Greeny have to host Sunday night count, Sunday primetime countdown? He's everywhere. Let him take a nap.
You think that's what he wants to do? He's just like,
take a nap, dude. Just like, so yeah, I like the fact that they're just like, you know what? Let's just buy inside the NBA. You play it for Leroy though, because he loves a Charles Barkley joke, Leroy. And especially Shaquille O'Neal walking off.
I saw it, but you could play it.
You think Jay-Z or
probably not a good time right now.
Or you're silly, man. You're wrong. You're silly, man.
Go see if you can fix the wall, will you, Shaq?
Fix the wall, man.
Here, Pat, here.
Fix the wall,
I'll go,
man.
See if I can fix the wall.
My point was.
Too soon, Kenny.
My point was.
You think. Too soon, Kenny.
Wait. Shaq just left. Ernie say I'm going to stand with Shaq, and it doesn't help that everybody behind the camera is laughing. Right,
it's the best show, man. It's the best. It's the best. I mean, I'm sure if Jay-Z was turning into hoops last night, he doesn't appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure.
And Kenny couldn't do nothing but laugh, because that was not his intention to bring it up. You know, that's Chuck.
That's Chuck, man.
That's Chuck.
And then, like, if Jay-Z just reached out to Charles Barkley, he goes, "Some Chuck, baby."
Yeah,
so fun. I'm like, but he ain't saying nothing bad about it. He just say, "Hey, now is not the not time." The time. What's with that heat on you like that to be bringing up your name?
Crazy. What else you got in the mixed bag, Marcos?
Save this for when Leroy was coming back. Glad that he was able to join us. A bit of an awkward interaction here. Something that's currently making its rounds. Did you see this, Leroy?
I did.
This is he's not Micah Parsons, he's not Aaron Rodgers, but you've had less than glowing things to say about Mr. Brett Favre here. But nothing compares to this interaction here by former sack record holder Mark Gastineau, who famously played for the Jets, set the record, and saw his record crushed by Michael Strahan on none other than Brett Favre. He had an opportunity to confront Brett Favre because apparently he thinks Mr. Favre took a dive on that last play. And if you've seen the play...
He didn't take no damn dive.
I mean, he took a dive, dude, but
when you watch that play, he wasn't getting away from Michael Strahan.
That's the thing. Yes, he
made it. Where was he going to go?
Ground, but yeah, he was done. He was done for sure. Well, you know, convenient. He rolled to the right, and then right tackle just happened to miss the block. But anyway, this is the confrontation now being seen worldwide.
You told me that a long time ago. I saw you.
Right.
How you doing?
When you fell down for him. I'm going to get my sack back. I'm going to get my sack back, dude.
You probably would hurt me.
Well, I don't care. You hurt me. You hurt me. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
You really hurt me. You hurt me, Brett.
We got to get back to this, Brett. I'm sorry.
Damn.
Now,
are you
Let me. How am I going to go about this?
Careful.
I'm going to say this. Right? Like, what are we doing? Right? What are we doing?
I'm all here for Alvika.
How did Brett Favre hurt Mark Gastineau? Right? If Mark Gastineau was rushing in his prime, Brett Favre wasn't going anywhere. Like, it looked like he curled up, but where was he going to go?
I did just watch it again.
He was right there.
If he stayed up, he was going to get killed. I mean, right. I guess he could have thrown it away, I guess.
How?
But
he started rolling.
The thing is, it looked like he took a dive for him.
It looked like he didn't. Whatever. Like...
Like, I'm just letting you know that, like, the look of it is bad. And I think Mark Gastineau was there. And yeah, it was. Yeah. So, you know.
But here's the deal.
You hurt me.
Here's the deal.
Maybe he thinks straight hand doesn't.
Mark Gastineau's in the Hall of Fame, right?
Is he?
I think so.
Hmm. Should be. I mean, he had a decent season. Apparently, according to you guys, DeMar DeRozan is in the Hall of Fame. It doesn't matter.
Not in the Hall of Fame.
Look at that.
So, like,
how do you have this record? Like, do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
No.
Leroy.
I mean, he's got good credentials.
He's like Eric Dickerson. No one knows Eric Dickerson except for that one really good season he had and a pretty solid career.
Dickerson's a Hall of Famer, though.
It's exactly the same thing, though. If this guy had the record, how many sacks did
Mark Gastineau have over 100 sacks?
Hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Look at that.
Yeah, first team All-Pro four times.
Come on.
Defensive Player of the Year in 1982.
Oh, come on.
His credentials are tremendous.
There you go.
He's not in the Hall of Fame?
I don't see it on his Wikipedia.
Should apologize to me, Leroy.
I'm not apologizing.
You're very critical.
I'm not.
Usually on your Wikipedia, it says it right there in gold.
Yeah. Right. Hall of
Famer. But no, it's not.
I just don't.
He is in the Jets Ring of Honor, though, which sounds
But good. I don't I'm having a hard time trying to figure out how Brett Favre hurt Mark Gastineau.
You hurt me.
That's when I'm having a hard time. Like, he almost makes it sound like Brett Favre said, "Ooh, I'm going to screw over Mark Gastineau. Give up this sack." Right? That's the way he made it sound.
Do you want to hear his response by any chance that he released?
And he said, "You rolled over." He didn't roll over. I mean,
he did kind of roll over, but it's, you know.
He was avoid getting hit.
That's true.
Right. Okay. That's not rolling over.
I mean, does he owe Mark Gastineau pain is basically what he's saying.
Right.
You look like you could hurt me.
Right. You hurt me.
You hurt me.
It's a weird. Like, it's a weird thing. It's a weird, like, I've never seen anything like that.
That was a weird conversation.
You hurt me. In fact, I know a lot of players that would have kind of went at him jokingly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
Not making that big of a deal
like
about it.
You just don't dive on the ground like that, bro.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, more personal than I would imagine an interaction being between, you know, two people, right? It's a weird, like, I don't know how to.
That was weird. I can imagine the producers like, go, find him, go.
I don't know how to even assume that. Because
he stole that from you?
I've never seen any interaction between players like that.
I've never seen anything like that.
Right.
Not saying you
hurt me because you gave up a sack.
His response on Twitter.
Brett Favre's?
Yes, Brett Favre took to Twitter.
Yeah, he had a response
we need to hear.
Yeah,
we'll take a break. We'll give you Brett Favre's response, but we got to go. We got to take a break. We'll get into your headlines because Brett Favre had a lot of tweets about this, and people had tweets about him. Take a break. Back after this.